Okay, what page is it at the bottom? 304. 304 at the bottom. We're 11 lines from the top. We're 11 lines from the top. On the top it's 160, at the bottom is 304. The Alter Rebbe, before, was explaining the name of Elohim, even though basically Elohim means concealment and limitation, but nevertheless, because without that concealment and contraction and limitation, we wouldn't be able to get the revelation of godliness itself, so therefore that itself is called Chesed. Okay, therefore Elohim is really called Chesed. And he says now, V'zeh Shekosuv, this is the fundamental things over here. This is what it says in the Pasuk, but we say it in Aleinu. The Pasuk says as follows. You say this in Aleinu three times a day. You should know today. And you should put it to your heart. That God is God in the heavens above and the earth below. There's no other God. That's the way Shai Yichud V'Amun really even opened with that Pasuk. So he says, what does it mean? Ki avaya hu alakim. Simply means you should know that God is God. The obvious question is, God not God? Of course God is God. What do I need a pasuk to tell me? You should know that God is God. What does it mean? So he says, what it means is, pirush, sheshnei shemes elu, that these two names of God, Hashem and Elohim, hem echod mamish, is really one. Hashem and Elohim are really the same thing. What do you mean it's the same thing? Shagam Shem Elohim, because even the name of Elohim, Hametzamtzim U'maylam Ha'ed, that limits and conceals the revelation of Hashem, is also Chesed, K'mei Shem Havayah, just like the name of God, Yudkei Vavkei, is Chesed. So is the level of Elohim, limitation and concealment, also Chesed. Why? Because Alter Rebbe explained before, without it you would get nothing. Because Hashem's infinite revelation would give us nothing. So by Hashem limiting himself, we're able to get something. That itself is Chesed. And he says more than this. Mishum shemideis of Shalakadosh Baruch Hu, the midas of Hashem, hamisyachdis imay, are united with Hashem, beyichud gomer, with an ultimate level of unity, v'hu shmei echad, Hashem and His name are one. Shemideisav hein shemesav. The midas of Hashem are the names of Hashem, because like we learned, the seven midas correspond with the seven names of Hashem. And Hashem and His midas are one. So Hashem and His midas and names are one. And he says, in Cain, memele teda, then you're going to automatically understand, shebeshamayim imal, that in the heavens above, v'ala ha'aretz mitachas, and in the earth below, Ein Eid, there's nothing else but Hashem. Ein Eid simply means there is no other God. The Alter Rebbe asks at the beginning of Shai Ramun, I don't need a commandment to tell me there is no other God. One God's enough. It could only be one God. Ein Eid means there's not even anything secondary. There's not any existence but Hashem Himself. So the Alter Rebbe is saying here 2 points. Number one, just like Hashem is Chesed, Elohim is Chesed. They're both Chesed. The difference is, one is revealed, and one is concealed for us. For Hashem, it's not concealed. The concealment of God is only as far as we're concerned. As far as Hashem is concerned, it's exactly the same thing. There is no difference whether it's revealed or concealed. For the person, if you hide behind the curtain, you are not hidden from yourself. You are only hidden from the person looking at you. That's what Elohim is all about. The Alter Rebbe is saying over here another point that's very basic also. Hashem and His midas are all one. Why? Because they're all united with Elohim. What does it mean they're all united with Elokus? To give you an analogy, a few analogies. You have the neshama. The neshama is one simplistic life force. One simplistic life force. It comes into the body and it makes everything function accordingly. In the nefesh itself, there's no seeing and listening and talking and walking and writing. The neshama is one, the essence of the neshama is one simplistic power. Because of that, it could do everything. To give you an example, a person has the ability to write. We have the keich ksiva. You can write 22 letters of the Aleph Beis. You can write 26 letters of the ABC. And you can write any possible form, shape, size, or letter that exists anywhere in the universe. So let's take now, you can write the 22 letters of the Torah, Chav Beis, of the Aleph Beis, yeah? That doesn't mean that in the power of your writing, you have an Aleph power, and a Beis power, and a Gimel power, and a Dalet power. You don't have that. Their hand is one simplistic power to write. Because it's one simplistic power to write, it can write any letter in any language and any letter or design that you can ever create. But that doesn't mean the hand is composed of 22 or 3 million different types of lines and drawings and existences and letters or whatever. Hashem and his midas are one. As Chassidus gives, Tzemach Tzedek gives an interesting analogy of this. He says, what are the Sfiras and Atzilas? He gives a muscle of water in a lot of different colored glasses. You line up on a shelf a red glass, a green glass, a purple glass, a yellow glass, an orange glass, whatever colors you want. And you take water and you pour water in each one. The outsider that doesn't see over the top, the outsider person looking at the red glass, as far as they are concerned, the water is red. For all practical purposes, as far as they're concerned, the water is red. The water in the green glass, for all realistic purposes, is green. Because what exists, as far as I'm concerned, is what the five senses say, whether if I can see it, or touch it, or hear it, or whatever, smell it, that I have, that is what exists. As far as I'm concerned, the water is red, and the water is green, and the water is yellow. Looking from the water's perspective, it's all the same. There's no difference from the water's perspective if there's a red glass, green glass, purple glass, yellow glass. For the water, it's all the same colorless water. And because water is colorless, that's why it could go into any glass and look the color of that glass. Because water is removed from any concept of color. And because it's colorless, therefore it can go into every color and look that color. If water, you can't take orange juice and put it into a red glass, it's not going to look red. It's going to look whatever red and orange together make. Or purple and orange, or green and orange. Because water is colorless, that's why it can exist in every color. Hashem is one simplistic power, everything. And therefore, Chesed and Gvura and Teferis, it's all the colored water. The only difference is, outside the glass, outside the keli, is there an act of Chesed going on? Is there an act of Gvura going on? Is there an act of Teferis going on? But the reality of it is, Hashem Ho'olekim, as far as Hashem is concerned, it's all the same. Because as far as his perspective, nothing changes. There is no Tzimtzum. There is no concealment. It's only limited color as far as we're concerned, when we look at the glass. But not as far as the realistic situation goes. So if somebody comes along and says, the water is colorless, it depends from which perspective you're looking. If you're looking from the onlooker's perspective, it's wrong because the water is red. If you're looking from the water's perspective, it doesn't matter what glass it's in, the water is still colorless. So the Alter Rebbe is saying here a few things. Number one, Hashem Hu Alekim means that just like Hashem is an attribute of revelation, Elokim is an act of revelation. It's an act of tzimtzum and concealment. But the reality is without that tzimtzum you would get nothing, so it is a revelation. It's a revelation in a limited form, but at least you're not able to get something. Otherwise you couldn't. And secondly, the Alter Rebbe is explaining, probably maybe even more so, and that is the concealment is not real as far as Hashem goes. It's only real as far as we are concerned. We see concealment of godliness. We see concealment and limitation of godliness. What? We'll talk a little louder, lady. You reach a certain age, it's hard to hear. Correct. Yeah, she's starting an anti. If anything, it's just the opposite of what you said. When you say Hashem Hashem kol rachum v'chanun, right, which is a pasuk in Chumash, so automatically it's true. Hashem, no. It's real chesed. Sometimes. In our eyes, it's anti-chesed, but it's still chesed. I'm not saying anti-chesed.
I'm just saying that if you say that
this is
what we feel, and this is what we say, then maybe this is all we see, but really, in reality, it's what Hashem is, which is chesed, gevurah, tiferet,
no. You cannot limit Hashem in any way whatsoever. You can't say Hashem is composed of 10 parts. He's everything because he is nothing. What does it mean he is nothing? There is no limitation. He's what's called poshut betachlis hapshitas. Simple, but the ultimate level of simplicity. Meaning, because there's no limitation to the writing of the hand could write every language, every design. Because there's no limitation to the power of throwing that the hand has, you can throw in every direction. Because it's unlimited, therefore it can come into the 10 spheres. Because otherwise, if you're limited in chesed, how in the world can you do gevura? If Hashem is infinite, you know, people ask, is God infinite? Yeah, God's infinite. That's an incorrect statement. Because if Hashem's infinite, you're limiting him that he's infinite and not finite. Plus, if Hashem is infinite, how can he make finite? You can't make something you're not. You can't make something you don't have. So Hashem's not infinite. We, for lack of better word, we say Hashem is bli gvul. Hashem is infinite. But the truth is, Hashem is above infinite and above finite. And therefore, Hashem could do infinite, and he could do finite, and he could combine the two together. Because Hashem is not limited in Hashem, and he's not limited in Elohim, therefore Hashem is Elohim. No, it's the reality. That's the real perspective. The concealment of God is our perspective. That Hashem does an act of gvura, that's from our perspective. Hashem doesn't do gvura. Hashem is toiv, etzem ha-toiv, the essence of good. The nature of good is to do good. No. Hashem is ultimate level of good. When Hashem does what we think is bad, it's only we, 1 minute, it's only we think it's bad. But if Hashem does it, it's good. No.
He doesn't give them a soul?
He does.
So he's dwelling in it, right?
But bad is good.
Bad and good are always seen.
In order for good to be good, you need to have bad. You can't have good if you don't have bad. In order to do good, you have to have a choice to do bad. And if you don't have a choice to do bad, then you can't do good. Because you're programmed, so you do it. You do it. It's not it's worthless.
What do you mean for each Hashem is everything, Hashem is nothing?
Hashem is everything, but not in a way that he's composed of 10 levels. Hashem is not cut divisible by 10. Because Hashem is none of limitation, that's what I'm saying. Hashem is a real existence. So Hashem is nothing mean. Hashem is not restricted in 10 spheres. Therefore, he can have all 10. He can combine all 10. And he's above all of them. And like I said, you know why your hand can write 22 letters? Because it's not limited or restricted in any letter. If your hand could only write Aleph, then you couldn't write a Beis. Right? The only reason you can write all letters and all designs and all any language you want is because the hand is not limited. It's not restricted. The same thing, the mouth could talk any language. If you learn it, you could talk any language, any sound, you could do anything. Hashem is everything. Those are the way Hashem. Are the 13 attributes of mercy God? Oh, the 13 Yom HaMisrachim, the level of Arich, the level of Kesed. Hashem's. No! Hashem, because he's unlimited, could come into the 13 attributes of mercy too. He's not only infinite, he's above both. Correct. Hashem is not Chesed. Hashem could do Chesed also. You're limiting Hashem that he's Chesed. There's no limitation by Hashem to say what he is. And that's the concept of Hashem Ho'olakim. Concealment and revelation is all the same thing. Not only because Elohim is a revelation, just like Havaya is, because without the limitation you get nothing. He said even more, the Tzimtzum is only as far as we're concerned. It's real, Dr. Rebbe is explaining Shayyuch of Amuna, it's real because Hashem made it real that when we look at Hashem, we don't see when we look at the world, we don't see Hashem. But that's our perspective. From Hashem's perspective, there's no difference between Tzimtzum and Churban and destruction and building, and there's no difference. It's all the same. It's hard for us to understand because our brains don't work that way. Because our brains are limited. Don't remember what I just said.
No, you said
everything
is the same to God.
As far as Hashem is concerned, everything is good. Everything is good. Everything is the same.
I don't think we kind of know what it means.
I understand. I'm giving you Gashmistic analogies. Obviously, they're limited because you talk about writing, you talk about the limitation of writing. That by Hashem, a thousand times we gave this mashal. A child and a parent, right? If the child misbehaves, are they less child than the best behaved kid?
No.
Are they less child?
That
moment you want to kill him. But I'm saying...
Okay.
Why?
Well, okay, go ahead.
Why is that? Because the parent-child essential bond of relationship is above and beyond behavior of good and bad. No?
Okay.
So why can't we understand that there's a level of elukus that doesn't matter if you do good or bad? Is a Jew less Jew because he sins?
No, not
is a Jew who sins.
All the
same.
It's all the same to him. That's very hard to understand.
The colorless water in the red glass, green glass, purple glass is all the same.
I get you. I really get the colorless water thing. But but
you don't get the God thing.
The God thing's a little tough.
The God thing's a little tough, yeah.
You can do it.
I'll tell you a little secret. Yeah, we can't understand God.
I get that.
So why waste your time?
That's how I feel, you know. Well, I'll say whatever.
It's like the whole concept. The more you learn, the more you learn anything, the less you know. So why bother learning?
I waste the time.
It's a waste of time.
So why bother? I just feel like I've asked the same questions for the last 25, 30 years. What?
And you've been eating the same food for the last 25, 30 years. You're going to get punished. Because punishment is... That's why he punishes you, because it's a cleansing process. Hashem's punishments are cleansing. You don't understand that? If a parent punishes the child, is it good or bad? It's good.
Not if it's abusive.
I didn't say abuse.
Well, a lot of people don't know.
Okay, so let's see Vaiter over here. Yeah. So what do I do about it? Huh? And therefore the assumption is that Hashem made a mistake? I'm asking you. If you would be God, would you do it?
No.
Then you're not Epicurus. Nothing personal. Because we said already the philosophy. Let me ask you a very simple question. A very simple question. Very simple question. But this is a question everybody has to ask themselves. Because if you answer the wrong way, it means you're a complete Epicurus. And that is, if you were God, would you run the world differently? And whoever says yes is an Epicurus. Because God runs the world the best possible way. Just because we're blind and foolish and brainless, therefore Hashem shouldn't do what he has to do. Hashem. So the Rebbe says in many sikhs that when God does, hello, the Rebbe says in many sikhs that when Hashem does things that in our eyes appear to be cruel, 6 million or other, whatever the destruction might be, a person has to complain to God and say, God, you know, you shouldn't do it. But at the same time, and I'll explain to you why in a second, at the same time though, equally and more so important, the Jew has to understand that if Hashem did it, it's good and it's right, and therefore I'm not going to divorce God, I'm not going to get angry at God and throw my tefillin overboard, and I'm not going to stop believing. Because a Jew has to understand that we are so limited and so blind and so foolish that the question is not why we don't understand what God does. The question is, why in the world do we think, which is also not true, why do we think that we understand what God thinks, what he does?
We don't understand what he does.
We don't understand anything he does.
But we do understand that it's not to our comprehension.
Correct. But that's why God's comprehension is not your
child,
yeah, the child.
Do you know
that the child, whoever has kids, and we were all of us, I believe, in this room at one time were kids, if I'm not mistaken. At one time we were kids, and when we were punished, because I'm sure nobody in this room were the angels that they look like today, right? They also didn't like it, and I won't tell you what you said underneath your breath to your parents.
I hate you.
Yeah, I mean, it's worse than that. And now, the parent did it. The kids, in the kids' eyes, I'm not talking about abuse. It's cruel and terrible and everything. But you know something? When the kid gets older and smarter, they look back and they say, you know what? Thank God, or it was good what they did then. And that's what you tell your kids, wait until your parents are going to thank me for what you did.
Yeah,
but that doesn't mean, one second, that doesn't mean that because the kid doesn't understand it, and the kid's eyes, it's cruelty, the parents shouldn't do it? That's ridiculous. Well, like we gave the analogy, man, a guy that comes into operating room knows nothing about medicine. So because the doctor's doing surgery to save a guy's life and he doesn't understand it, the doctor shouldn't do it. And in his eyes, it's realistic murder in the guy that knows nothing about medicine. In his eyes, it is real murder. The guy's killing somebody. He's cutting him open with a knife. So because he doesn't understand, the guy shouldn't do what he does. Now, a Jew has to come along and say to Hashem, God, listen, we love you, you know, don't hug me too tight though, it hurts, but, we want to see open good. Why should a Jew say that to God? Why isn't it considered a Jew mixing into God's business? Okay, it's mixing into God's business. Because the answer is, just like a person who's sick goes to the doctor, and it's called mixing into God's business, but that's what Hashem wants. He gives tzedakah to a poor person. God wants the person to be poor. What are you giving him money for? You're going against the will of Hashem. The answer is, because Hashem wants us to mix into our business. To his business, I mean. So Hashem wants a Jew to come along to him and say, listen, God, I know you love us. I know this hidden good is really high and great than the who knows what. It's even greater than the open good. Dr. Rebbe explains in Perek Chov of Tanya. It's even greater than the open good. But you know what? We say, God, we're very simple Jews. We want to see open good. We don't want to see 6 million killed. We don't want to see this. We don't want to see tsunamis. We don't want to see this. We want to see open good. This is what a Jew is supposed to daven to Hashem. Because that's what Hashem wants us to say. At the same time, understanding that if Hashem does it, just because in our tzimtzum dika eyes, like we're learning here, in our Elokim eyes, it looks terrible, but that doesn't mean it's terrible. It's really good. What?
People have to have skills to be able to do this.
It's called learning Chassidus.